Turn full your soul's vision to Jesus and look and look and look at Him. And a strange dimness will come over all that is apart from Him. And the divine attrait, that's a French word which means attraction or lure, sense of compelling call. The divine attrait by which God's saints are made, even in this 20th century. I know we're in the 21st, but Lilius's point, there she is again, hasn't diminished. Even in this 21st century, the divine attrait will lay hold of you as we look and look and look at the One. Bless you for choosing that hymn. I was wanting to sing it. Behold Him there. The risen Lamb. Look at Him. Turn full your soul's vision and look at Him. And she finishes off, this was a very brief pamphlet she wrote, and the title was Focused. And she finishes off with this, for He is worthy to have all there is to be had in the heart that He has died to win. Oh Lord, have it all, this poor heart of mine. Are you with me? In this clay pot, what can we give Him? Poor as we are, but oh, turn your soul's full vision again today. I trust you have a sense of eyes being opened, even as we've worshipped together. And apparently reading this little pamphlet, Helen Lamel, I don't know if that's how you pronounce her name, sorry if that's wrong, but Helen, we'll call her Helen. She was inspired to write her hymn. Any guesses? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. So dear Lilius poured out the passion of her heart in that little pamphlet. And Helen read the little pamphlet and was stirred and inspired to pen the hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And countless of the Lord's people have been blessed and encouraged and exhorted through the knock-on effect. And don't you love the way the Lord works and He chooses what, from our perspective, seems to be risky business to work through imperfect, ordinary, weak, flawed people who at our best see through a glass darkly. But it's all by His grace. And no wonder Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers who had their eyes opened, and yet he prayed all the more. Oh, bless you for sharing that. I've prayed. And Paul, filled with the Spirit of Jesus, says, I pray for you precious believers that the eyes of your understanding should be opened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. Do we see Him afresh this morning? Are we willing to cooperate with Him? I believe He's here in power and authority, with supreme gentleness and skill at dealing with complex situations, with the power to heal the brokenhearted, with the anointing and authority to set the captives free. He's here preaching the gospel to the poor. Will we hear him? I need to hear this gospel on a daily, in fact, no, moment by moment basis. I need to hear the gospel of grace to my dry and weary soul. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Someone prayed, I think it was our brother Paul, you're our only hope. Your blood spilt for us is the only hope. Behold him there, friends, again this morning. Behold him. Don't get over familiar with this. Behold him there, the risen Lamb. My perfect, spotless righteousness. We don't have a leg to stand on. In our own strength. You may have been walking, and bless you for this, if you have for many, many years. I know this room is filled with faithful saints of God. But can I say this gently and with respect? No matter how many years you've been walking with the Lord, but for his grace you don't have a leg to stand on. And he seems, oh, he's amazing the way he works. He seems to take people on at the very end of the working day. And if in our hearts we think I've done a shift, we get disgruntled at the ones who come in at the last hour of the day. We've borne the brunt of the heat of the day, landlord, what are you doing? Vineyard owner, know that. The point is, it's grace. How did they come in at the very last minute and get paid the same as me who's been doing a shift? It's scandalous grace. You can imagine if there are self-righteous people in heaven. Let's just go with the analogy. There aren't, by the way, but if there were, can you imagine the shock and horror when the thief shows up? How did you get in? The man on the cross next to me. And he, the thief on the cross, had his eyes open. Somehow, by amazing grace, he turned and seen the King. Now, if we'd been able to take a photo of that awful, dark, dark moment, no one, from a human estimation point of view, would have said, there's a King. It was awful. Blood-stained brow, pierced hands and feet, broken body, hanging there, a curse, middle of the day, darkness. And the thief sees the King. We know that, don't we? Because he says, Lord, remember me when you come in your... Hello. That's amazing grace. How did we get to be here? How do we get to be here? James, it's so good to see you, my friend. 30-odd years, we're here because of grace. He's kept us through thick and thin. Beth and Paul, so good to see you. I received this grace from you two the night before last Saturday. Amazing grace. I'm undone by mercy and grace. Oh, praise his wonderful name. I don't know how I'm going to get on today. There's all kinds going on, and all I know, I just said to Brian before the meeting, the Lord is at work. Hands off. The Lord is at work. Somehow he takes the risk to include us in. Staggering. I just want to read a few scriptures and maybe make a couple of comments, but it's kind of, I don't know what this is exactly. It's probably not a preach. It's a, I don't even know what to call it. You can call it something afterwards. I want to remind you back to when Larry came. Do you remember that? And I'm going to read that scripture. Something fired in my heart all those weeks ago. And then I also want to remind you, and we've already had it referred to, when Florence was here 2 weeks ago. Do you remember? And she finished with Jehoshaphat. Do you remember that? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Do you remember? And then Phil last week. I was so challenged and moved. Jesus saying to Nathaniel, when you're under the fig tree, I saw you. He's the God who sees. And couple with that thought that He is the God who's able to open our eyes. Why? Well, primarily that we should see Him. We should see Him, the one who sees us. And here's the passage if you want to turn to it. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. And just for the sake of time, I'll cut in. Therefore, people often say, what's the therefore? Therefore, well, you can figure that out yourselves. Read Hebrews chapter 1 through to 11. And you'll understand the therefore in chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. It's an amazing analogy, this. It's the picture of the race. And all of the kind of spectators. The unseen cloud of witnesses. And then here comes the exhortation from the writer to the Hebrews. And this is direct to our will. Let us lay aside every weight. And you might be thinking, hang on, if it's all by grace, why are we being challenged to do something? That's how grace works. Oh, praise His name. In the context of amazing grace, we get to hear the voice of the incomparable one. And He loves to challenge our hearts. Sometimes He disturbs us. Sometimes He makes us feel uncomfortable in His faithfulness to shift us from our no man's land. He's the one who calls us out. But He doesn't just leave us to wander around with no idea what's going on. He calls us out in order to bring us in. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. So let us lay aside every weight. Now this is really interesting, because then coming hot on the heels is, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Okay? So the inference is that there are things in our lives that are like weights, but not necessarily equating with sin. Do you follow that? I think that's a fair comment to make here. So let us lay aside every weight. Now, there's no doubt that sin can be a great weight. Please don't misunderstand me, but I'm just trying to make the distinction there on purpose. So, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. There it is. Turn your soul's full vision to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. How should I put this? I really believe more and more these days the extent to which by His grace we see Jesus is the extent to which we live in the good of all He died to make ours. There's an intimate connection between, I was going to say what we see, it's not so much what, it's who. Between who we see and our prayer life. Which is why it's so important to worship. Because if you're coming at the problem from an earthly perspective, trying to fix it, trying to deal with it. I'm telling you, you will burn out faster than we can say burn out. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we lift our hearts, our eyes to you. Grant us by your grace to see you more clearly. And then you'll find you will ask things of the one that surprise you. And you'll realize as you see him, he's the one who answers above all that we can even ask or think. He's supremely powerful. He's the one and the only, the anointed, the Word of God, creator of everything. He has all authority. The name which is above every other name. Glory to Jesus. And we read here, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a work. Finished. And then it goes on, and I want to read this just to make a connection with a couple of other scriptures. For consider him. There it is again, looking to Jesus. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So in that short passage, we've got lay aside, look to Jesus, and then this, if we don't, it's almost the kind of warning, lest you become weary and discouraged. So can you see working that backwards? The antidote to weariness and discouragement is looking to Jesus. And in order to look to Jesus, we need to lay aside every weight. I don't know if you've found that in your life, and I'm not going to interpret it for you, but whatever the weights are, you tend to kind of drop your gaze, so to speak, and the focus becomes on the burden, the weight, the... So it's not, I love the scripture, so helpful. It's not whilst being absolutely crushed with the weight of whatever it is, look to Jesus. Amazingly, by his grace, he said, lay your burden down, my precious friend. I believe he's here. And he wants us to lay our burdens down. He wants us to lay aside every weight. It's very clear. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. There's no doubt sin holds us back. Let's be blunt about it. It's an absolute destructive, deadly disease. But as we've already seen, there are also things that may not be sin, the weights that can hinder us. In this analogy from running. I don't know if you've discovered this, our choices, and we're presented with them on a daily basis, our choices are not always between right and wrong. I mean, sometimes they are, and I'd encourage you strongly, by God's grace, to choose the right as opposed to the wrong. But sometimes it's between something that may hinder and something that may not. Let us lay aside every weight. Is there, let me just ask us all, and my own heart too, is there a weight in your life that the Lord is asking you this moment of grace and power this morning to lay aside? I don't know. I mean, I feel really weak right now. Even in the handling of this most precious word of God. But with all my heart, I know the Lord wants to work. And not just for us to know the theories and the scriptures, but for us. You know, He's the anointed one to let the oppressed go free. The ones who are heavy burdened. He wants to lift those off you. But here, in this passage, He actually says to you, lay aside. Sometimes we're saying, Lord, please take it off me. Oh, He's well capable. Absolutely. I mean, He can do anything. But it seems to me He engages uniquely with each of us, who He knows and sees perfectly, and He knows exactly how to come to us. Exactly. And somehow in His mysterious grace, I still don't get it. But He'll work, even now, where I barely know what to say next. In this moment, but He's here with His beating heart among His people. He's coming for you, my friend. Oh, precious child of mine, I've known you before you were even born, and I'm coming to you today to lay aside the weight. He knows it, but He wants you to be aware and to consciously engage with Him and lay it aside. Oh, Jesus, what are the weights? I mean, we could do a list. I don't think that's appropriate. But I know, I'll just give you a few examples in my own life. Sometimes it's been the weight of expectation. And Jesus Himself has come and said, Dave, I'm not putting that on you. But you, my precious son, need to lay that aside. Fears. Anxieties. Concerns about ill health. Coming back to you, Josh, sorry to embarrass you, but do you remember you and Matt, where are you? You remember the youth weekend in Bala? Ione, lovely weekends away. You'd asked me to play the old strings. I did a poor job. And then you encouraged a time of prayer, and I don't know if you remember this, but you asked specifically about, you felt the Lord was saying, just pray for each other for healing. And I just had this nice revelation at my age that I had arthritic feet. And it sounds funny, but it was actually, I realized deep inside, I didn't realize until the young people prayed for me, that I had the seed of like some fear for the future. What's going to happen? And I've still got it. I would have liked it to go. But the fear, the Lord put His finger on it and said, lay it aside. You trust me. In the midst of your frailty, trust me. And I was released. Bless you, Josh. Ripple effect. And the young people engaged in prayer. I've prayed for you. And the Lord working in my own heart and releasing and enabling me to lay something. Do you see how this wonderful grace works out? Oh, praise His wonderful name. So whatever it is, uncertainty, Could be guilt, competing priorities, emotional burdens, mental anguish, etc., etc. These are just my examples. Let's not get started on you. And then it does say, and the sin which so easily ensnares. So is it a weight? If there's sin, we don't want to pass over that. This is a difficult Greek word, apparently. It can be translated four ways if you're interested. If you're not, just have a temporary snooze. So easily avoided, could be admired, could be ensnaring, or could simply be dangerous. Four possible ways to interpret that Greek word. The main point here is back to this exhortation. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which some can appear to be easily avoided, but we often get tripped with that. Some are admired. They have this strange lure and attraction which is coming in direct competition to the attrait. You know that old French word? That lure of the incomparable beauty. The desire of nations himself. We're created to be people of desire. The enemy has sold us down the river, right from the garden. Eyes on what? Which should have been on the prize. On the forbidden. And we've been in a right mess ever since, haven't we? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, desire of nations, fill our vision. This connection between who we see and how we are. You know, I just say this, sorry, I'm getting on my high horse now, but in our society right now with technology and smartphones, great tools, I'm not knocking them in that sense. But I'm telling you, I've seen it clearly, there is a direct war on for the attention of the whole human populace, and it's monetized. It's an absolute barrage for our focus. And really interesting, Lilia Strotter, her old school little pamphlet, focus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn away from everything else. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets, is dangerous, ensnares, is sometimes admired by us. It seems attractive. There's a lure from the enemy. The instruction, lay it aside. And by the power and authority of Jesus as he comes to us this morning, I tell you in Jesus' name, whatever it is, however ensnared, entangled you may or may not be, you can lay it aside. However subtle it is, you can lay it aside. However deeply entrenched, lay it aside. In Jesus' name. Glory! He's destined you for freedom. Praise his wonderful name. Well, that was just the first scripture. We are going to close in time, Mark. But I'd like us to pray as well. We read this in 2 Corinthians, and this really struck me. We've talked about laying aside weights, and you might ask yourself why. In that passage in Hebrews, it's very clear. But just listen to this and make the connection. In 2 Corinthians, and cutting in chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Now it's interesting. The idea there is growing weary and discouraged. Do you remember in Hebrews? Lest you grow weary or discouraged. And then it goes on, Paul says, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Listen, a far more exceeding and eternal, hello, weight. It just hit me like a lightning bolt. We're encouraged to lay aside every weight that would hinder, in order that we should be the containers for the greatest weight of eternal glory ever. Jesus Christ in us.
Make room, my friends. Every other competing thing, we want to lay it aside. We want to put it away in order that we should receive, how can I put it, the maximum possible down payment of the glory that is coming. Is that in your heart? Oh, glory to Him, the hope of glory, an eternal weight. And the context is, Paul says this remarkable thing, and he'd been through it. He calls it light affliction. He's not being unempathetic there. He sees Jesus. That's why he speaks like that. The connection between what Paul, by God's grace, has seen and what he writes is clear. Oh, praise His wonderful name. And then you can read, obviously we look to the things which aren't seen, etc. And then to finish, listen to these beautiful words from Jesus. And again, make the link. You know where I'm going, maybe? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is the one and the only, the Rabbi of rabbis. In a context where genuine seekers, I believe, were wanting to do the right thing. And the religious authorities, not all of them, but the general background context, was that they would load up heavy burdens. A whole load of additional extras. Hundreds and hundreds of detail, so that you can somehow appear like you're walking the walk, shine the halo, put in the years of service. It's anti-grace. It's dis-grace. And Jesus, the King of glory and of grace, comes in, the Rabbi of rabbis, and He's scandalous, my friends. He's like, come to Me. So that's a call from the Rabbi to any would-be followers. And the background was elite schools of training and great intelligence, creme de la creme. And Jesus just walks in and goes, anyone weary? Anyone exhausted? Anyone absolutely loaded up? So you're creaking under the pressure. Come to Me. Follow Me. Follow Me. Oh, bless Him. Bless Him. The only prerequisite is that we know we can't do it. We're weak. We're burdened. And Jesus is saying, come, come. Seriously, I need to come to the Lord again today. And in this analogy, in order to come, the Hebrews 1, lay aside any weight. Sometimes the weight will keep us in our seat. Figuratively, but sometimes literally too. Yeah? And He's saying, come. Come. Glory. So let's finish here, shall we? And you can respond to Him. This day. Listen to His words, come to Me, all you who labour. Labour, interestingly, is translated from grow weary, tired, exhausted, toiling under burdens and weights, grief. And listen to Jesus, I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Not the heavy yoke, not the ill-fitting yoke, but a yoke that's been handcrafted by the... He's not just a rabbi, is he? He's a top-notch carpenter. Oh, the care and the loving working of the wood to bespoke fit this yoke that somehow goes over His shoulders, and He takes the weight, but He calls you in. I'm gentle. Are you hearing this? I mean, this is completely other. I'm gentle. I'm lowly. And you will find, I won't just give you rest, but as you yoke up with me, my dear friend, you will find rest. It's an ongoing discovery for your souls. And then, just in case we weren't shocked enough, my yoke, Rabbi of Rabbis, is easy. Pleasant, kind, fit for purpose. And my burden is light. And actually the meaning is it's easy to be kept. That shocked me. And in John, my commandments are not grievous. So will we come? Time has absolutely flown once again. My heart is full of him. But you know what? I want to have an extension built. I want my heart to be expanded somehow. Not for me. Seriously, I've had enough grace. I don't mean had enough of grace. I feel like I've been so blessed. But there's people who don't know. So who wants to come? Who wants to lay aside? Should we do that? We're going to close now. Maybe this will happen for some of you later this afternoon. The Lord's not in a rush. He's not like, oh no, it's midday. You've missed your chance. Oh, he's slow release goodness. If he's speaking to you, you can give him your response now. And then get with him. Perhaps in a way like you've never been before. Lay aside in order that you can come in a fresh way and get with Jesus. He's the answer. Oh Lord, we're in your presence. You see our hearts. Lord, we don't just want to talk about you, but we want to engage with you. Lord, and as we hear your word afresh, you've been speaking all the way through this meeting. By your grace, enable us to respond to that word and that we would actually do something about it. Lord, we look to you. And as we look, Lord, we see you, the everlasting God, with everlasting arms. The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. And you're the one who neither faints nor is weary. Your understanding is unsearchable. Right now, Lord, you're giving power to the weak, to those who have no might, you're increasing strength. And even if we see ourselves as youths, help us to recognize that we grow faint and weary, and that in our own strength, even in the prime of this life, we utterly fall. But grant us by your grace to wait, to look at and for, to eagerly hope for you, Lord, and find that renewal of strength, that mounting up with wings like eagles, running this race, Lord, unhindered, unfettered. Amazingly, even though these outward vessels perish, somehow inwardly, not weary, walking and not fainting. Oh Lord, help us discover more of this wonderful exchanged life, this grace, this hope of glory. Lord, you. We love you with all of our hearts. And as we've been encouraged, we pray for one another that we should grow in this grace for your glory, Lord. And for the sake of this broken world.
We ask it. Amen.